Good morning once again, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us here for another edition of the Daily Bread broadcast. This is your host, Marcus Brown, reporting. This is the final in the series, Methods to Receive Divine Healing. We saw in Exodus, the 15th chapter, verse 26, where God promised the children of Israel that healing is available. He said he would not allow the diseases that were allowed to go upon the Egyptian to come on them, and under the condition was that if they walk in his statutes and his laws, follow his instructions, his commands. That was the instruction. It is still the same way today, ladies and gentlemen. That is available to us by extension, because we are now children of the Most High God. He has called us to come out of this world, to be trained, to be a part of the world ruling government that he's going to institute on planet Earth when he returns to set up the kingdom of God. And so you and I are in training process today. We read also that in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verse 22, that whatsoever we ask of him, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those that are pleasing in his sight. And so the point again, ladies and gentlemen, is that you ought to be living God's way, doing things his way. If you expect him then to fulfill the other part of the bargain which he gave, which was that when he does whatever he promises, what I should say, he makes the promise and we by faith step out, then he will fulfill that promise. And that's how he does everything that we receive by faith. Now, we must come to the throne of grace by faith in God's promise to heal. We need to get that clear in our mind. The seeker should have enough instructions to generate faith for withstanding the accuser, because the brethren, the accuser of the brethren, that Satan the devil, he's going to come try to resist you. You see what is happening? He doesn't want you well. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And so you need to recognize that you have an adversary, and so you need to be prepared. Well, that means you're going to find out the will of God, obviously. And so you study the scriptures, apply yourself, and you apply the instructions that he has given, right? And as we have pointed out, there are 7 methods of receiving divine healing that we have seen clearly documented in the scriptures. We're going to just mention the first 5 again briefly, and the last 2 we will cover in this teaching. The first one is where the person initiates the personal faith. For example, the lady with the issue of blood, we wouldn't know about this until it was documented that she said within herself, she said, we didn't hear it, we weren't there, you weren't there obviously, and so the Bible tells us that she said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I know I've been made whole. What did Jesus say to her? Your faith has made you well. All right. Second method is you pray one for another, as James the 5th chapter verse 16 says, and Matthew 18:19 agrees. You know, there are other scriptures you could quote, but my point is that we pray one for another. And ladies and gentlemen, you need to make sure you make this a part of your daily assignment, where you're praying for the brethren, you're praying one for another, especially those who need healing, okay? So make that a part of it. And the third method was to be anointed with oil, James the 5th chapter, verse 14, where the person may be incapacitated. They're not in a position where they can move around. The elder goes and anoints them, or perhaps they may receive an anointing cloth, similar method, okay? But my point is that's the third method to receive divine healing. The fourth one is the prayer of faith by whoever is the administrator. You know, sometimes you hear the expression, man, you know, you have faith that can move a mountain. Well, that administrator, that person who has that faith, can pray the prayer of faith. Matthew 21:21 gives us the biblical grounds from which we can stand on by faith. If you by faith declare or say or whatever, get the idea? All right, so by faith, the prayer of faith. And let's see, the next method was God initiated, by perhaps by a word of knowledge or a prophecy. Somebody comes and makes a declaration. It's not there that you get a word of knowledge and it follows, and then you receive divine healing. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 9, it talks about it. This is healing, one of the gifts. And so God gives these gifts to men, and one of them is what? The gifts of healing, you know, work of miracle and things like that, right? And so that's the fifth method. The seventh method, well, actually, let's go, we switch it around on my list. The next method we want to talk about is following instructions of a man of God. You know the story about Naaman the Syrian? What happened? Well, let's pick it up in 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Because what happens is that this gentleman had leprosy. He was a very, what you would say, successful general or bold general. You know, the Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man, it says, with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. So he had won some mighty battles and things like that. But he was a leper. The Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive, and one of the persons they brought was a young lady who they had her there, and she was serving as a maid in the to the wife of this general. His name was again Naaman. So the young lady said, she said unto her mistress, "Would God the Lord were with the prophet, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." He says, if he was with that man in Samaria, the prophet, well, he would get rid of that leprosy. And one of them went and told it. And so what happened then is, in verse 5, the king of Syria said, "Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and so on. You get the idea. He carried a lot of resources with him. You know, they were obviously powerful. And what he did was he went and he visited the man of God. Now, what happened there? Verse 8 says, when it came, it was so when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel rent his clothes, because what happened, they sent a letter and they asked the king to recover him. Well, the king knew he couldn't do it, and so he got upset, saying they're trying to pick fight with him and so on. Well, the word got to the prophet, and Elisha sent a message to a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and what?" Let's back up, go another verse. What happened is that when the word got to him, Elijah said, you know, "Let him come up now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." That's the second clause in verse 8. And so Elijah got word out, "Let him come to me. No, you don't worry about it. You can't do it, but, you know, send him to me. There's a prophet in Israel." And verse 9, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. So he come, you know, all dressed up and so on, and he's ready to hear. But Elisha, verse 10, Elisha sent a messenger unto him, say, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to you, and you shall be clean." Now notice what happened. The prophet didn't come out and pray in a long prayer or make any commotion or anything of that nature. He just said, "Hey, go wash 7 times in Jordan." He didn't come himself. He sent a messenger. Go tell him. Notice the power beyond what is actually taking place. The prophet spoke. He gave the word to his messenger. His messenger went out there and tell the general, "This is what you need to do." And so the general now was not pleased. Notice verse 11. But Naaman was angry, and he went away and said, "I thought he surely would come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leprosy." So he thought he was going to come and create and do something dramatic. And then he started to compare. He says in verse 12, "Are not Abana and far rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. He got angry. He just thought, you know, so much of himself, he failed to understand what is actually taking place. So verse 13 says, his servants came near and spoke unto him and said, "Hey, my father, If the prophet had asked you to go do a great thing, you would have done it. How more rather, this is just simple. Just go wash in the thing and be clean. And of course, his senses come to him at that point. And so he went down, verse 14, dipped himself 7 times in Jordan. Not 6, not 9, but 7 times in Jordan. According to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a child, and he was clean. Notice that. He followed the instructions. That's all he needed to do. Follow the instructions. There are times when God allowed this to happen. Let's look at another case. In the 9th chapter of the book of John, what we find then is that there was something similar that place. It says in verse 9, as Jesus passed by, he saw, well, actually, verse 1, chapter 9, John 9, chapter, verse 1, Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, and his master or his servants, that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither this man nor his sin nor his parents, but that the work of God should be made manifest in him. And I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So they didn't grasp this fully, but anyway, verse 6 says, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went his way therefore, washed, and came seeing. Notice, he was given instructions. Now what happened if he didn't go? Well, I don't feel like it. I've been blind all this time, and you come now put all this mud and whatever it is on my hand, my eyes. You know what? Why should I? No, he didn't. He just followed the instruction. And what happened? He came seeing. My point here is this is another way to receive divine healing, by following instructions of a man of God. Final method, ladies and gentlemen, is to be in the glory, be present in the glory. Now, this is a little challenging for some, but I want you to understand how it works. There are times when the presence of God is so strong that these divine healing automatically takes place. In Acts, the 13th chapter, we see there is the movement of the Spirit, and what we find then in verse 2 is that as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, they were there in Jerusalem at the church in Antioch, and as they ministered to the Lord, it says, and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So here it is, they were singing and praising the Lord and, you know, ministering to one another. And right then the Lord spoke. The Holy Ghost said, he spoke through a prophet. You go to verse 1, you see the implication. He speaks to a prophet. And the teachers, they were at Barnabas 7, was among them. And so what happened? He spoke to one of them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. My point is that God moved after the presence of the Lord became so overwhelming, the Lord started to operate and to deal with those who were there ministering unto him, serving him, praising him, lifting up his name. That's my point. You need to make sure we understand this. The atmosphere is where this thing takes place. In Acts chapter 5, we find a similar situation taking place. What happened is, Acts chapter 5, it says Peter, let's go down to verse 11. Great fear came upon all the church and upon all many as heard these things, and by the hands of the apostle, verse 12, were many signs and wonders done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest do no man join himself unto them, but the people rather magnified them. And verse 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord multitude, both of men and women, and insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the street and laid them on the beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passed by might overshadow them. Now what happened there? the atmosphere was such great of expectation. The expectation was so great. People were so believing, or should say they were so moved, that they knew they're going to receive from God. And that's why they carried the sick people there and just laid them down. And the shadow of Peter walked by, and guess what? They got healed just like that. What caused this? The glory of the Lord. That's what happened. And so they were in the glory. I would like, I think my time is kind of running out, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, let's turn to it quickly. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Because Solomon had made an end of praying, and the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering. This is when the dedication of the temple. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. They couldn't move in that presence. It was so overwhelming. What do you think happening in that presence? Whatever is incorrect is going to be corrected. Whatever is out of line is going to be brought in line. Whatever needs to be healed is going to be healed. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. That was the glory. They were in the glory there in Acts the 13th chapter. They were in the glory in Acts chapter 5. And they were in the glory in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And it is describing what is taking place here in verse 2. And you can read the rest of this chapter in your own time. But my point is that when we get so caught up in what God is doing and worshiping Him and praising Him, the Lord knows what is happening. He knows our needs before we even ask it. And the presence, the glory of the Lord is so strong at that point in time that people can receive healing. What happened? God just automatically does it. That's what happened in the glory. He automatically does it. Now, the glory doesn't come at all times, no. But folks need to understand that we need to help create the atmosphere. So you come to work prayed up, you come to rather services, you come to services all prayed up, you've been fasting all week, and you are preparing to receive from God that day. And if everybody come with this degree of expectation and come and praise the Lord and lift up the name of Jesus, you will have this kind of atmosphere over time. And after a while, you're going to get it. And once you start happening, it's going to happen on a regular basis. That's what happened in the book of Acts, chapter 7, chapter 5. That was a glory. So you can read this in your own time. Acts, Isaiah, the 4th chapter, talks about there is going to be the glory wherever we have the assembly church when Jesus comes and set up the kingdom of God on earth. Yes, people are not going to be walking around sick. No, there's going to be glory of the Lord in the temple, and all you have to do is go there, and the moment you enter, your attitude is going to change. You go expecting to receive. You know you're going to get blessed when you go there. You know the God, the presence of God is there. Whenever it is there, you're going to find that you start to receive these type of things, and in one of them, in this case, is healing that we're talking about. I want us to focus on some more on this. I wish I had more time, folks, but I want us to recognize that there are different ways to receive healing, divine healing from the Lord. And the last two we've just covered is following the instruction of a person of God, a man of God, and being in the glory, being present in the glory. And of course, that comes from, you know, our organization and attitude and so on. Come expect it, and it will happen. Folks, study these things. Seek the Lord. Continue to pray. Continue to ask Him to show you more. He will. As always, want you to recognize that in due season, we'll reap if we do not faint. According to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in the next lesson.